chuyện. Then the mind is not utilized in saying almost automatically the words flow out. And when the mind is not much involved in pronouncing the word, then it is easy for the mind to float on the meaning as the words are coming out. As the words are coming out without effort, whatever the attention of the mind is, it is on the meaning. So the meaning floats, the mind floats in meaning. The whole psychology is then in tune with the tradition through the meaning coming on. And immediately our consciousness is raised to that high level of consciousness of the great masters. This is the ability that you have gained because of mind's familiarity with the very subtle regions of thought. So when you are invoking, saying the words, the words are coming out without effort in the gross, and the mind settles down in the subtle, floating in the meaning. Immediately the contact is made, and that is the strength of initiation, filled with that grace, as we may call it. Remaining on that subtle level, we pick up the suitable mantra, and as if bringing out the seed and sowing it on the fertile ground, repeating to the man, and then soon he finds his way to the transcendent and arrives at the same point almost where the mantra was picked up. So this completes the circle. And this is what initiation means. The effectiveness of initiation depends upon the ability of the initiator to operate in the subtle field, being in tune with Gurudev. And that is what initiation means. That is why one it keeps on becoming deeper and deeper and deeper every time one initiates deeper. And that is the reason why the initiator feels more energetic, much more buoyant after each initiation. One initiates 100 people during the day, and at the end of 100 initiations one feels so jubilant, buoyant, full of energy, lightness, no tiredness, not at all. Because it's there from the source of energy, energy keeps on coming and revitalizing the whole thing. This is the ability of the initiator. And the purpose of committing the words is to let the mind float in the meaning as the words are coming out. This is attunement with Gurudev, and this is what invocation of the, what we call, grace of the holy tradition. Invocation of the holy tradition. Very significant. Very significant. People here and there say, oh, how can he be the initiator and how can she be the initiator, because he doesn't know how to speak and she doesn't know how to look. It is there. And therefore, as I said the other day, the messenger, the initiator is the messenger of truth. The messenger is messenger, like Christ and Buddha and Krishna and Muhammad in different parts of the world. He speaks truth to the people, and therefore people expect from him a truthful behavior, a loving behavior, a happy, cheerful mood, a man of tolerance, a man of love, a man of forgiveness. These are the qualities that people expect from the initiator. And for that matter, any meditator. And therefore, when we come out full of energy after meditation, we must not fly in our imaginations saying anything to anyone. We have to be very careful about what we are saying. We always say something which wins the favor of the man who hears it. And it's a very great undertaking on the part of the initiator particularly, actually on the part of every meditator, that he does not offend others. Anyone who comes to him must go happier. This is the criterion of a meditator. A meditator. Much more so, this is the criterion of all those connected with the movement. Much more than that, this is the criterion of an initiator's behavior, his nature. An initiator or a meditator has absolutely no right to have any prejudice, what you call it, huh? Prejudice with any other. Because he is prepared to change the man from whatever low state of consciousness to the possible height of consciousness. Very important. We have to cultivate a look. We have to cultivate the speech. We have to cultivate a whisper, which only vibrates happiness and love. That is very, very important. Because in the world you go, and you invite all worried and peaceless and suffering people. And when you invite them, you must be prepared in yourself to meet any bad behavior with the best smile and love and welcoming. Because you are inviting him, knowing that he is worried and peaceless, you are inviting him. And you are inviting him to make him happy, let him go more peaceful. The giving of initiation is the exchange of very great love, motivated out of a very great desire to help and make the man happy, harmonious, divine. And therefore, he doesn't pose that he is behaving in a divine manner, and he never says that. Otherwise, say, I am giving you the divine word. It would be too much for anyone who is there to receive. An initiator never poses his superiority over others. Absolutely not. He just says, as a carpenter knows how to smoothen this surface. And he does it quickly. Like that, an initiator knows how to send the mind to bliss, and he says, do like that and do like that, and it goes. What is the superiority? A carpenter, when he comes and works on your table, he doesn't show any superiority over you. But he can, because he knows something which you don't. He can produce something which you can't. When a carpenter doesn't show off himself, what right you have to show off yourself? It's just as simple as that. Someone knows some language, Chinese. You don't know Chinese. You can teach him English, he can teach you Chinese. What is that? So, no man knows everything. Thousand things are there for him to learn. So if thousand teachers keep on showing obligations to him, where he will remain? He should have some place in the world to live. He can't be pressed by thousand obligations because someone has taught him this and someone has taught him this and someone has taught him this and someone has taught him this. So he'll be left without his own life. Therefore, we don't show any obligation or anything in the most simple, ordinary manner. Just like a carpenter does the thing. We just tell him this and this and this. Very simple, very simple. And we keep on telling them, people, don't expect me to be absolutely perfect man and all that. I'm also a pilgrim to the path of perfection. But I am a pilgrim to the path of perfection, and I hope I have seen the long way of it. Come on, come along with me. Simple, very natural. No showing off. And then one thing is very important. We never say, you, my dear friends, you will be attentive now to hear me. We never use the word you. The SRM uses the word we. Now we shall consider. Never shall we say, I shall speak to you, and you must remember that you have not to forget this. Always we say we. Better we don't forget this. Better we don't forget this. Never you. Just this one simple thing, that you don't speak in terms of I and you, takes you on a very high esteem by the intelligent people. There are people who listen to you about what you say, about the matter that you produce, material that you give out. But large number of the people, along with that, they are also interested to find out how you are speaking, how close you feel with your audience, how close you feel, how much you can own the man to whom you are talking. And if you can establish a relationship in 5-10 minutes of speaking. And these are the simple things. We never say you, we. We shall consider this and we shall consider this. And we have considered this one point and one point. Now that I have considered one point and you must have understood this point. And never you and never I. It's a very great secret. It works like a magic wand, without any, first of all, we shall consider. Because when you say you have created a gulf between yourself and the audience. Absolutely, a great gulf. You separated them from yourself. And when you say we, You have united yourself with everyone listening. We shall think like that, and then you have got them with you. Then they begin to think with you. And this is the success of the speech. When you make every mind think along with you. And always we elevate the audience. Always. We never depreciate their value for nothing. No. Always there would be some one point with which we would start. I remember now this, when I spoke for the first time in Sweden. When I said in London I would go to Sweden, all right, someone, I don't remember his name, he was very fond of me and I was very fond of him. He said, now you are going to a country. If you are able to establish in Sweden, then we'll think that this movement will be established everywhere. I said, tell me, what is the specialty with Sweden? He said, it's a country where people think that their culture is perfect. They didn't have war for the last 300-400 years. And this standard of living is highest in Europe. And the people feel self-sufficient. They don't like any intrusion in their daily routine. They fix up their appointments months in advance, and that all that goes with a high level of society. I said, tell me, if you know anything about the country, whether the number of the hospitals are increasing. And just this one point. Then he said, when you ask this, then I remember that the rate of suicidal tendencies is maximum in Sweden. Then I said, it will be enough to establish the movement there. That thing was in my mind when I stepped on into the hall. The hall was full, about 700 people. I remember they wanted me to sit on the big table, on the table. I sat on the table. And I said, I feel very, very happy this evening because I am giving my message in a country where people feel self-sufficient. Swedish people think that their culture is complete enough and they don't want any intrusion from outsiders. Because their standard is highest, and they are a peaceful nation, and there is nothing more than they can add in their life. To such a society feels self-sufficiency. I am giving my message, and I feel very happy. Immediately the whole house belonged to me, and I belong to everyone. It made them happy. You must have noticed that yogi from Germany, that Indian yogi coming from Germany the other day, he was so embarrassing to listen to, was saying, it is your karma, it's not my and it is your responsibility, it's not my responsibility. And you have to bear the consequences of what you have been doing. All charging everyone and annoying everyone. But in that sweet country of Sweden, just right at the start in 2 minutes, I was one with the audience and they were one with me, and it was a very homely atmosphere created, and then I started all what I had to say. So there will always be something in the air which will give you to elevate the consciousness of the people by some good expression of some good feeling towards them, something good. And right from the beginning you are one with them, and that strangeness which they might feel with you or you might feel with them, it simply drops off in a second. This is a great art of talking to anyone. Someone comes to you, he may say something. He may say one sentence and may mean something offending or something. But some one word you may pick up, and then you approach him on that word. All his fury and anything, negativity, all will simply melt away. Because whatever he has said to you, you have found some common interest in him or some good quality in him or something. He is simply elevated. It is the natural quality of the leader of the spiritual regeneration movement or the International Meditation Society or the students in the National Meditation Society. It is the natural quality that we we greet a man. We greet him through our looks, we greet him through our words. He come and sit and say, yes. Even if you are in a very great hurry, someone comes, say, yes, come. And then if he says something, one thing, you can coolly answer him in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and the whole purpose will be finished. Rather than giving him a 5-minute lecture and saying that you don't have time. The cool atmosphere always leads a man and this when you aim at doing with the strangers, you have to have a habit of it. And that is possible only by behaving like that with all those who are meeting daily. Not that with your brother you are fighting all the time and with your strangers you are smiling all the time. It doesn't go together. It strains many people. I have found some many many places. When they go out in the evenings for social meetings, they have to put up a happy face. And by the time 2-3 hours after they come home, they're completely tired and absolutely gone. Because all the time they have been posing to be happy, posing. It's a very superficial and unreal life. By nature one has to be cheerful and happy. Never see a man from a critical absolutely not. You know that you have the highest wisdom in the world, but you have no right to look down upon anyone. Here and there and there. They have their values, but don't produce maximum possible effect in the relative field. We do, if we accept the philosophy of the man, or the principle of the man, or the perspective that he is bringing, and then speak our philosophy and tell him, surely he himself will find that we have a better bit. No use getting into controversies here and there and there, nothing. So behavior, mutual behavior, social behavior with strangers is the criterion of how much we are enjoying bliss or how much we are suffering from it. Any irritation is the outcome of our tension. The mind tense from inside can easily pick up an excuse to be furious. A man says something, he's saying, if we are in a happy mood, we can begin to enjoy. If we are in a bad mood, then the mind picks up a cause to be furious on him, because he said like that and he said like that, and this was not right and this only was right. On no account and on no occasion, immediate decisions are needed in such cases. If some man says something, you don't have to pounce on him like a tiger, that this is wrong and this is wrong, and immediately just now you have to correct. No, what is that? Absolutely not. So when we become furious, we only express our state of tension, which must be foreign to a meditator and must be very, very foreign to an initiator or a leader of the movement who propagates the philosophy of peace and happiness and love and harmony and 200% of life. 200% of life does not lie in remaining tense and worried and furious and no. In order that we are never furious and never tense and never worried, we must meditate 1 hour, 1.5 hours, if possible 2 hours, morning and evening. The initiator is the representative of what he teaches. Just like a tailor, if a tailor has a tip-top dress and then he goes to plead that I, in my shop, the dress is beautiful, then you can see from him that yes, it's possible that he will make such beautiful dress even for me, because he is wearing himself. Otherwise, if he goes with all these wrong cuts and advocates for a beautiful suit, who will listen to him? We are out to enjoy a very great responsibility that we have taken upon ourselves. Peace and happiness. We can afford to spoil 10 undertakings